Last week, we started a quick two-part series. It's called Special Abilities of the Spirit, and this is part two. So we talked a little bit about Jesus' death and resurrection today while we're having communion. But Jesus didn't stay physically here on earth forever. He eventually ascended to heaven. When he did that, he was telling his disciples, listen, I'm going to send my Spirit, my Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus to come. He's going to live with you. He's going to dwell with you. He's going to live inside of your life. He's going to guide you into all truth. The Spirit is going to change and transform you. So we did a whole series on the fruits of the Spirit, how God changes our character. Part of what the Holy Spirit does, though, is when he comes into our lives, the scriptures tell us that he can give us special abilities, or we call them gifts of the Spirit. And we started talking a little bit about that last week. If you want to read up on it a little bit, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We talked last week about the message of wisdom. We talked about word of knowledge or message of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of healing. There's so many different gifts, and we're going to dive into more of those today. Traditionally, most versions of the Bible, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. I like how the New Living Translation translates it. It translates it as special abilities. When I think of special abilities, I can't help but think of superheroes. So we are a culture that is enamored with superheroes. I know we're enamored with it because there's a million movies on superheroes. These are people that discover that they have some sort of special ability. And if you are into superhero movies or comics, one of the things that you'll discover that's a typical through line or storyline in superhero movies is as they discover their gift, there's always a choice that they have to make with their gift. Are they going to use their gift for good or for evil? Because in these superhero movies, there's always a bad guy who typically also has a special ability. And the difference between the bad guy and the good guy is typically the bad guy is using his special gift or ability for himself or for herself. It's a selfish use. They know they have a special ability, but their focus is on what they need and what they want and what they want to accomplish. The good guys that we see in the superhero movies, they have special abilities as well, but typically if they're using their abilities the way it's supposed to, it's very outward focused. They do it for others. They do it because they care for the world. They do it because they care for people. And sometimes the lines get blurred in that, right? Sometimes you watch those superhero movies, you can see the heroes in the movie struggling to know how to use their gifting properly. This isn't a huge stretch, but I want to relate that to the special gifts or abilities that the Spirit gives the church or the Spirit gives you. If you are a follower of Jesus, he wants to give you special giftings and abilities. Stuff that is by the Spirit of God. He comes and he lives inside of you, and he wants to give you special giftings or abilities. Why? Because he wants you to use it to love on people. He wants you to use those special giftings or abilities to get closer to God and to help other people get closer to God. It is self-sacrifice. When I think of the special gifts or abilities that are talked a little bit about in the Bible, sometimes we get nervous talking about them. Sometimes they make us feel uncomfortable. Sometimes we're not even sure whether or not we want to believe them or not. When we talk about gifts of healing, we're like, oh, really? I don't know. When we talk about gifts of prophecy, we struggle with that. I think there's three reasons why we times struggle with spiritual giftings, or maybe just ignore them. I think at times within the church, we ignore the special giftings of the Spirit. And I think there's three reasons why. One reason is because I think we struggle to just even believe in it. I think this is a very typical Western struggle. For us who live in the West, we struggle to really believe in the supernatural. We just want to believe, you know, prove it to me through science. Show me through scientific fact, and then I will believe. But if there's no scientific proof, we struggle to believe in it. It's fascinating around the world. If you travel the world and you dive into the lives of people, oftentimes people's worldview, how they believe, what they believe will affect the things that they experience. So for me, I lived in the Middle East for many years. And when I was over there, Middle Eastern people, they don't struggle to believe in the supernatural. They believe in the supernatural. And one thing that's very, very common for them to believe is for them to experience dreams and visions. And because of their belief in that, it's very fascinating that for many that come to faith in Jesus, they experience Jesus in their dreams. Jesus shows up to them in their dreams. It transforms their life, and they come to faith. For those who have lived for many years in Africa or maybe South America, where people believe in the supernatural, whether it's evil magic or the things of God, when it comes to healing, they believe in it, and there's more examples of people being healed of diseases. And then we come back to Canada. We wonder why we don't see as much, and I think some of it is connected to our worldview, and the fact that we have a struggle believing. Sometimes we ignore the special gifts of the Spirit is because they are abused. We've seen them abused. We've seen the things on TV where there's an evangelist or maybe a healing evangelist, and what we see is them using their gifting or ability potentially so that they can get rich. It's very self-serving. Or for some other reason, there's something happening there that just doesn't add up. And we've seen that, and we say, if that's what it's about, forget it. I don't even want to believe in it. I don't want to touch it. I don't even want to go there. The third reason why I think we struggle with ignoring the special gifts of the Spirit is that we tend to walk out our spiritual lives on our own. And what I mean by that is that it's very clear in Scripture that these special giftings of the Spirit are supposed to be practiced within the church, the body of Christ, together in relationship. They're not meant mainly to be practiced on your own, although they can to some certain extent, but when you read the writings of Paul, he makes it very clear that they're meant to be a blessing to other people. But when we live our spiritual lives separate on our own, saying, this is just between me and God, I'm good, I don't need other people, I can read my Bible on my own, I can get onto the internet and watch stuff on my own, me and God are good, we tend to not experience these giftings of the Spirit because they're not meant for us to do it by ourselves. It's meant to be together. In fact, when we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, we read this last week, it says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's what Paul says. God wants to give you a spiritual gift. Why? Not to make you feel that you're something special or important, although you are special because you're a child of God, but it's specific because he's like, man, I want to bless you with this so that you can help others. So you can help others. We're talking about spiritual gifts because we're meant to help each other along in our desire to follow Jesus. Spiritual gifts can be abused, they can be self-centered, but that's not how God created them to be. So we've talked about some of these other gifts that we touched on last week. Today I want to touch on five more. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go over verse 10. 2:15 or so, or 10-11. So this is what Paul says. He says, he gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether the message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So these are just five gifts. These are not exhaustive. There's a lot of other gifts, but these are just five that we're going to touch on today. It says that God gives these gifts. It's the Spirit who gives these gifts, and he's the one who chooses who will have them. So not necessarily gifts where you can say, man, I'm going to really work hard at gaining this gift. This isn't something you work towards. This is a gift that God gives you. So the first one is very interesting. It says power to perform miracles. When we think of power to perform miracles, typically we think of Jesus. We think of Jesus. When we open up the scriptures, we think of Jesus. That word power to perform miracles. Miracles is the word dynamis in Greek. When you think of the word dynamis, what do you think of? Dynamite. It's the idea of power. It is a display of God's power. So we think of Jesus. He did all sorts of miracles. He turned water into wine. That's a cool power, hey? Dynamis power. He fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fish. That was a miracle that Jesus performed. He raised Lazarus from the dead. That's pretty crazy. In fact, there's a story of Jesus calming the storm. He's in the middle of a storm and he has the power over nature. He tells it to quiet down and it becomes still on the Sea of Galilee. So when we talk about this power to perform miracles, there are two types of people that are talked about in Scripture. There are those who do these miracles to honor God and is bring his compassion to the hurting. But there's also those that do not know Jesus who traffic in his power and do miracles in the name of Jesus. You know that? Let me point you to a scripture. This is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles." This is what we're talking about. Perform many miracles in your name. "But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." So if you struggle with that, this aspect of miracles and believing in miracles, that people could do that, actually, I want to point you to scripture that if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus says that people will perform miracles. This wasn't a question. He said this will happen. This will happen. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus does point out to two different people. In fact, this one that he focuses on is pointing out towards the fact that some people will perform miracles in the name of Jesus, and yet Jesus doesn't even know them. We are a people who tend to look for results. And we've done that in the church, and I think that's one of our mistakes that we've made. Is that when we look on the internet, we watch TV, and we see different spiritual leaders, and we see them eventually fall, and you find out that there's all sorts of drama happening in the background, bad stuff happening, and you go, how did we get fooled? It's actually interesting that Jesus actually points this out, and he says, there's going to be people who do things in my name, and we can get caught up in looking at the results, where we see the results of what someone is doing. Like, how can I not follow this person or believe in this person? Because look at how many people chose to follow Jesus because of this person. Or look at the miracles this person has done. Or look at how many people they've prayed for and been healed. Or fill in the blank what you have seen. Jesus points out very specifically, he says, there's going to be people who do this stuff, and yet they don't know me. They don't have relationship with me. Jesus is more interested in our character than what we can produce with our spiritual giftings. Can I say that again? God wants to give us spiritual giftings. He does. He wants to give you a spiritual gifting. And some might be spectacular. The testing of spiritual giftings, though, is will it become something that becomes self-focused that you use for yourself? Or is your focus on Jesus? And you say, it's for you. It's for me to show your love to other people. It's for me to love on people. And Jesus, may I never, ever focus on that spiritual gift, but Jesus, would you change me? Character. Jesus is telling us character. He says, those who do the will of my Father. So he's like, there's going to be miracles, but are they doing God's will? Are they doing God's will? How do you know what God's will is? We search the scriptures. We open up. We listen to the words of Jesus. We listen to his word. And we say, God, what is your will? Reveal yourself to me through your word. So he talked about miracles. The second one that we're going to touch on here is this idea of prophecy. So prophecy shows up in multiple different ways. One, prophecy declares the heart, intentions, and desires of God. If you can throw that up there. Declares the heart, intentions, and desires of God. Actually, within the church, like if you've been in here within Gateway for a while, you will notice that every so often there are people who give words of prophecy. And most oftentimes, prophecy shows up like this. When we think of prophecy, sometimes we think of other things, but most often, prophecy shows up like this. It shows the heart of God. It declares the heart of God. This is the heart of God. These are the intentions of God. These are the desires of God for you, for the world, for the church. It declares who God is. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that prophecy strengthens, encourages, and comforts. Strengthens, encourages, and comforts. That's the spirit of prophecy. Sometimes it's spontaneous. Sometimes it'll pop up while we're worshiping Jesus. Sometimes it's something that is for the group. Sometimes it's for you personally. Sometimes it's for a group, sometimes it's for one person. Sometimes it's spontaneous, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it develops. Sometimes God's going to place a word in your heart and you take some time to process it, digest it. So prophecy does that. Prophecies also can reveal the future to those who have the gift of prophecy. We see this popping up in the book of Acts as well. This is less common. This is typically when you think of prophecy, this is what we think of. We think of like declaring what's going to happen in the future. We see this not as often within Scripture, especially in the New Testament, but it does pop up. It does pop up. The Holy Spirit also reveals the present priorities of God for a person or group. Present priorities. So maybe there's a word of prophecy sometimes in giving direction for a person or a group. We see this in Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas, they're hanging out in Antioch. There's a church there, and they're ministering there. And as they gather together as a group and they're praying and they're seeking the will of God, it says this in Acts 13:2. It says, through the prophets, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. This is a prophetic word over Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were there in Antioch, and now there was a prophetic word. You need to go out. What was the work that God had set Paul and Barnabas aside for? It was to go and travel and declare the message of Jesus from town to town to town to town. They were missionaries. And there was a prophetic word given. Now was the time. Now is the time to set apart. You guys are going to go and do this. So right along with prophecy is actually a gift of discernment. And prophecy and actually discernment go hand in hand. Behind everything, there is a spiritual power. Does it come from the Spirit of God? Is there an evil spirit behind it, or is there a human spirit behind it? Sometimes these can be a little bit mixed. The gift of discernment allows us to see the nature of the spiritual power. So sometimes this is connected to prophecy. When a prophetic word is given, the spirit of discernment will say, this is of God. Or maybe the discernment says, no, this isn't. Or maybe it's something else. Discernment can also help us in being able to discern what is of God generally and what is not as you go about your daily life. Discerning where that spirit is coming from. So prophecy is connected with this idea of discernment. And to be honest, that's why it's really, really important if there's a prophetic word given, is that we prophesy in humility. We prophesy in humility. Because what we do is we come to the body of Christ and we present something, or maybe it is to an individual, you present something, but now it needs to be discerned. Now it needs to be judged. Is this something that the Spirit of God is saying, or is this someone else's idea? And so we come with humility. Sometimes there's been a sense when someone gives a word of prophecy, maybe you've been in a church before, and there's a tendency to say, thus saith the Lord. And what they're saying, I mean, they're using Old English, but what they're saying is, God is saying this, or God says. And sometimes, to be honest, it's not the best idea to present a prophecy in that type of wording. Because the moment we say God says, it's really hard to argue against God. It's hard to operate in discernment when we're saying God is saying this. So my suggestion, if you are gauging a sense of what you feel the Holy Spirit is saying, the best thing to say is, I sense the Spirit is saying this. I sense within my spirit that God wants to say this. And when we present it in that way, what we do is we come at it with humility, and you come at it with saying, it needs to be discerned, and I could be wrong. And that gives a spirit of grace within the church. We need to have grace for one another, that mistakes are going to be made. And to be honest with you, with prophecy, oftentimes we see it pop up here while we gather on Sunday, but if you want to grow in the gift of the prophetic, oftentimes it's best to grow and practice that in smaller groups. As you gather together for prayer in smaller groups, whether it's a prayer group or a Bible study that you gather with in the weekly, you gather with people who are safe, people that you know, and as you pray together, it allows you to practice that and make mistakes. Sometimes when prophecy pops up here in the church while we're having a service, you may have noticed typically we don't have people that'll just start yelling out in the middle of the service. That doesn't create good order. What we want is we want to have a spirit of discernment. So whoever's leading the service, if you have a sense of what the Spirit is saying, go and speak to that person who is leading the service. Oftentimes it might be Pastor Mike or somebody else. And you explain to them, you say, I sense the Holy Spirit wants to say this to the church. And explain to them what you're sensing. Allow for a spirit of discernment to happen there. And it might be waiting for a moment in the worship service to present that. It might be like, we might do it at this time. It might not even be a time during that service. It might be like, let's sit on this. It might have to be for another week. But we come with that flexibility. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 32 to 33 says this, remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. What that's saying is that when someone prophesies, it's not like all of a sudden they become like zombies. And God, it's like God takes control and they have to do something. No, you are in control of that. You're in control. So maybe God drops something in your heart. It's for now, or maybe it's for later. But you have the ability to be in control of that spirit. Does that make sense? All right, so we're going to dive into speaking in tongues. This is one that people sometimes get nervous about, ability to speak in unknown languages. We see this pop up in a couple different places in the Bible. Sometimes if we look at Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit came upon the early disciples in the Acts 2 experience, they were speaking in languages that other people could understand. Because people had come from all over the world, and they heard the glories of God. They heard worship of God in their own language. But we also see in 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul talks about tongues, that it's sometimes that tongues isn't actually a language of the world that people understand, that oftentimes it's a language that no one understands. It's a heavenly language. That it's a communication between you and God. I'm going to dive a little bit more into that in a second, but connected to that, the last gifting I want to talk about is the interpretation of tongues. And that's someone in the body where sometimes maybe that gift of tongues, most often it's for someone's private prayer life. Okay? But in 1 Corinthians 12, when it's talked about the gift of tongues interpretation, this is in the scope of the body of Christ, their church gathering together. And maybe someone has a message for the church that comes from a different language that no one understands. That if that's going to happen, there needs to be interpretation. And God's going to give someone a gift of interpretation to be able to do that. This is declarative. But to dive into this just a little bit deeper, if you can track with me just a few more minutes, I want to touch on 1 Corinthians 14. It says this. It says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened. That's just a little portion of 1 Corinthians 14, but I just want to point out a few things that this allows us to help us learn. Is that no matter what your gifting is, he makes it very clear at the beginning that love is the most important thing. So 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter before, he talks all about love. And the reason why he talks about love is the fact of what we were speaking of earlier in the service, the idea that the gift of the Spirit is given for us to love on one another. That's what it's about. It's for us to be able to communicate the love of God to one another. For us to hear his voice. For the voice of God to be able to break into your world and for God to say, I know where you are. I know what you're dealing with. And I'm right there with you. And so when we operate in these gifts in that spirit of love, that is what happens. That is what happens. It's to build each other up in our relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians 14, we also see that speaking in tongues is us talking to God. So if you have a prayer language of tongues, it's you communicating with God. It's not for everybody else. It's you communicating with God. It's you communicating with God. And he says this as well, is that speaking in tongues strengthens us personally. It's you communicating with God, and it strengthens you in your walk with God. And Paul says he desires for everybody to be able to speak in tongues, Which is interesting because by saying that, there's an aspect of it where he recognizes that that doesn't happen for everybody necessarily. So tongues is something that he says, this is a great gift to have. Ask God for it. Pursue it. He's like, I wish that everybody had that gift, but it's not necessarily going to happen. And it's not based upon whether or not you are a mature Christian or not. God doesn't say, oh, you're further along in your relationship with God, so I'm going to give you this. No. No. It doesn't happen that way. But it's interesting in that, in the church setting, as we gather together as believers, Paul says that he prefers prophecy over tongues. And the reason why that is because when you're speaking in tongues, no one else can understand what you're saying. But as we gather together, when someone is able to give a word from the Lord, it's an encouragement to you. So when we gather together, we want to encourage one another in our walk with Jesus. So if we're speaking out in tongues, it's supposed to be interpreted. Sometimes this is misunderstood, though. I've heard a few people say, you know, they were in a church service, and the person next to them, as they were worshiping God, the person next to them, they heard them speaking in tongues, and they were a little bit offended by that because they said that needed to be interpreted. My encouragement for you in that is what you're doing is you're listening in to somebody else's private worship. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. So for me personally, like, you know, in my own prayer language, like I pray and I worship in tongues. If you're sitting close to me over here while we worship, you might hear me do that. Don't worry about me. It's not for you. It's between me and God. Now, but if I were to stand up in front of you and now really speak it out really loudly, it needs to be interpreted, right? Needs to be interpreted. I want to take you to one last scripture here, Matthew 7. As I do this, I want to invite Judy up. Judy, if you would come. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. She says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God wants to give us gifts. We naturally, even as sinful people, we want to give good gifts to people. And Jesus is speaking the heart of God. And he says to people, God wants to give you gifts. And this includes, gifts can mean all sorts of things. He wants to give you a gift of amazing relationships. God wants to give you a gift of finances to be able to support yourself. God wants to give you all sorts of gifts. But I also want to point out that these gifts of the Spirit that Paul talks about are called gifts. And maybe you don't know what your gifting is. Like I said, these aren't exhaustive what I talked about today, but these are some of the outward ones, sometimes some of the more controversial ones that pop up in the church. But I would encourage you, ask God for gifts. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you. Judy, a couple weeks ago, spoke to me and she said she had a word picture. We'll call this, we're going to practice some prophecy here today of a word that the Lord gave you. And I asked if she could share it with us today.
So knowing about the right time is important because 6 weeks ago I got this word, and it's this. So bear with me. And it went dormant. We prayed into it in our prayer time, and it just quietly went away. 2 weeks ago the Lord brought it to mind again and said, go buy the clothes for it. And I thought, well, I've never done that before. I've never had a picture from the Lord. And then he said, go buy the clothes to my wonderful daughter-in-law. And I went out to the secondhand stores, and we bought two articles of clothing. And we altered one. And I kept saying to her, this is what it felt like in the word picture. This material is what it felt like. But it had holes, and it was thin, And so we cut into it to sort of represent what I had seen a month before. So that's the history. And now you can actually see what I saw. And so what I saw was a person in this very threadbare sweater holding it close. Like, this person was trying to hold it close and get as much comfort and warmth out of it as possible. She knew it was threadbare, I guess, but she didn't realize just the sad state that it was in, that there were holes and tears everywhere. And it's like she was oblivious to it. She was blinded, perhaps, by the fond memories of that sweater when life used to be easy, predictable, and stable. The sweater had once offered such style, such comfort, such warmth. Maybe it even represented all the nice things that the world had to offer. In those days, the sweater had been so familiar and so cozy. It could have been that kind of thinking as the person grabbed it close for warmth. Finally, though, the person removed the sweater. Now I have to lay the mic down. And as she looked at it, and she was stunned. She hadn't realized it had become in such poor shape. And then what I saw in this word picture, this mini little clip, was that she held it in her hands, and the sweater just disintegrated and fell to the ground. And underneath that was this white robe. We did the best we could with the secondhand stores that we could go to. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "This garment is enough to cover all your sin and to transform your life. This garment is sufficient for all your needs. You don't need to rely on the things of the world. Take comfort in what God has done. You're covered. Take comfort in what God can still do in you, what he can still do through you, what he can still do to you and for you." And he spoke again. He said, "Putting confidence in the things of the world, in temporal material things, is just going to cause your life, like this sweater, to fall apart and disintegrate. Trusting in old patterns, old behaviors, old vices, perhaps, they're just going to cause you to fail." And the Lord brought to mind three scriptures. The first one is from Psalm 20, verse 3. "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of our God." Proverbs 3, 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And the last one, Jeremiah 33, 3, "Call to me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So that's what God gave me.
Thank you so much.
I feel like I've been into an examination. Like, he's just listed all the things that prophecy has to do. I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, did I pass?"
No, this is perfect. Thank you, Judy. What you're doing is you're declaring God's heart. He's placed something within you, a word picture, to show other people because God wants to speak to them. Yeah. And I pray that you would receive that, you discern that. And sometimes it pops up in different ways. You know, I know for Judy and there's other people in the church, sometimes there's like a picture that comes into your mind. God shows you a picture, and God's trying to communicate something through that picture. Mm-hmm. For others, it works a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. So why don't we close our service today receiving what he's given us. Actually, could you pray a closing for our service today?
I knew he was going to ask that.
You knew that, hey?
Yeah, yeah. I can tell the future.
You sense God was, okay.
Father, we are so thankful for the things that you place within us, because they are to build us up. They are to draw us near to you. They are to strengthen us. They are to help us get through our days when every assault of the enemy is coming at us. And so, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you bless this people. Bless the apple of your eye, or the apples of your eye. Draw them close. I pray in this week to come, Lord God, that you will bring them into intimate times with you so that they will know your heart. They will know your voice. And they will know the Son of God so much more intimately. I pray a great blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.